Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 10, verse 14. And then real quickly, 1 Corinthians 10 and 11. And we have a lot of teaching to do tonight, and I'll try to get as far as I can. I'm going to tell you some things tonight that are going to shock you, because it's unlike anything you've heard or anything I've heard, but it's a revelation that the Lord gave me today about the end of time. And I believe it's going to be an eye-opener for many of you. Daniel chapter 10, verse 14, Brother Kyle. And Brother Kendrick, would you get 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 for me?
1 Corinthians 10 and 11. Now I have come to make you understand what will befall your people in the latter days, for the vision is for many days yet to come.
What did God just tell Daniel? Everything I'm showing you, Daniel, is not for this time. So when I hear people trying to correct me about my interpretation of the four beasts of Daniel, Russia, Great Britain, America, Germany, and the revived Roman Empire, when I hear people correcting me, and they say, no, that's Medo-Persia, that's Babylon, that's this. They don't understand. Daniel's vision was not about Daniel's day. Daniel's vision was for the last day. And that's the day, Sister Kathy, that you were born to live in, is the last day. He said, I want to show you what's going to happen to my people, your people, which is who? Not the nations, Israel. The book of Daniel is only for Israel. He said, I'm going to show you what's going to happen to Israel in the last day. Now let's read 1 Corinthians 10 and 11.
Now all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Somebody say, that's me. Everything that was written in the old was written for one group of people. Those upon whom the end would come. The book of Daniel's not written for anybody except you. It wasn't written for your grandmother. It wasn't written for your grandfather. That's why it's been misinterpreted all these years. Because it's been sealed up. Daniel, it's sealed until the people in 1 Corinthians upon whom the end of the age comes. When you start hearing the revelation of the book of Daniel, you're hearing the people upon whom the end has come. And when is that end going to come? That's the thing that so many people want to know. But I want to preach to you tonight. Please, just listen. I want you to hear that you are the most, and I say it over and over and over, and I feel like nobody hears me. You are the most special people that have ever lived on planet Earth. You are the most special people. You are the ones upon whom the end of the world has come. God preserved you for this day because He knew you could make it through this day. He saw you before you saw yourself. He preserved you for this hour. When you make it, the old black folks sing a song that said, how I got over. I don't know how I'm going to make it over. But if God saw that I was going to make it, I'm going to make it. It may get dark in this hour. It may get bad. But God saw you had what it took to make it upon this hour. Somebody said, Brother Vaughn, you fear mongering. No, I'm faith mongering. I know how this thing ends. I win. They call you a fear monger. They call you a fear monger because your faith makes them afraid. they project on you what they're experiencing. I'm not a fear monger. I'm so excited about this hour. I was born for it. I'm excited about the voice of Elijah that comes just before the coming of the Lord. This is my day. I was born in Laodicea, the darkest hour the church will ever know. You're living in it. You know why it's going to be so hard? If you've not heard my sermon called What Happened to the Rain? Elijah, God stopped the rain for 7 years. You know why God stopped that rain? So that they wouldn't be deceived into thinking that God was pleased with them. But he said, Elijah, if you can serve me with no rain, with no signs and no wonders, no miracles, no dead man walking, if you'll make it through the drought, I'll bring you out. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. But we've been called in the drought. Where's the miracles? It's the drought. Nobody wants to serve God in the drought, but you were born for it. You were born for that moment. Whenever he don't heal your body and the rain don't fall, you know God said she's got what it takes to still be faithful in the drought when you're without, knowing that God is still able. You were born for this moment. Your neighbor wasn't born for this moment. They're afraid right now. The world's about to blow up. That means I'm about to go up, not in the rapture, but in the catching away to meet the Lord right there in the air. Woo! You got to learn to love your day. Where's all the miracles? I don't know. I'll be the first to admit they're not there no more like they were. You know why? God has stopped the rain so the voice of Elijah could come forth. And whoever can hear that voice in the drought. Yes. You didn't hear what I said. Whoever can hear that voice in the drought will be there when the deluge comes, when the miracles come, when the rain returns. Can you hear God in the drought? Brother Bonner, don't feel like it used to in church. That's because God's trying to get rid of all the wheat. I mean, the chaff. Yeah. Amen. You want to know when the chaff leaves? When they don't feel nothing no more. They're not trying to hear a message. They're trying to get a fix. Walk in and feel something. I don't need to feel nothing. Preach to me. Tell me what I was born for. Tell me what God has in mind for my life and for your life. Don't have to feel nothing. That feeling's going to run out. I said that feeling's going to run out. That faith better not. That feeling's going to run out. But that faith better not. I told y'all I wasn't going to preach tonight. Now y'all quit. I just want to teach. Be real dignified, real quiet. Hallelujah. Read for me Psalms 111 and verse 10, Brother Kyle. And Brother Kendrick, would you grab Ephesians 1, 17 through 18? Let's go to Psalms 111 and verse 10. Brother Vaughn, I don't understand the end times. I don't quite, everybody I hear teach it confuses me. I want everybody to hear me and hear me well. If you're not a Sabbath keeper, you'll never understand the end time. I've had great end time teachers and I loved them. Brother Irvin Baxter, just several that I've loved. But even them didn't quite have it all yet. Because you've got to be a commandment keeper to understand the mysteries of the Word of God. Brother Vaughn, I don't understand the end times. I guarantee it's because you don't understand the Feast of Tabernacles.
That's right. Amen.
It don't line up for you. That's why the preterists are so messed up. Do y'all know what preterists are? Wake up, everybody. Anybody know what a preterist is? What is it? You don't? Do you, Diane? What is a preterist? They believe everything ended in 70 A.D. They don't believe Jesus is coming back. They believe he came back in 70 A.D. when Titus destroyed Jerusalem. And do you want to know the saddest thing about it? There are millions of them that believe that in the church. It's called preterism. They fight me every day on Facebook. They called me out today, one of those fellas, and me and him fought for about 2 hours. And do you know why he's a preterist? I'll tell you why. Because when it comes to Bible prophecy, I'm going to teach you today, because it was already fulfilled one time, they believe that's the only time. Okay, exactly. They don't know about that upward journey. They don't understand the 6 days of creation. They don't understand Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. They don't know how to lay their chart out. They don't understand Jesus couldn't end it on the fourth day. It must be on the sixth day. They've got him ending it on the fourth. That won't work. Now, according to David, it's impossible to understand unless what? Read.
The reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. A great understanding have all they who do your laws. Your praise endures forever.
I want to tell those watching by YouTube and around the world, across the whole world, if you're not a commandment-keeping Sabbath keeper, your end-time doctrine is messed up. We're living in a moment now where it's all being unsealed. Ever since we found the Dead Sea Scrolls in 1948, God's begun unveiling the book of Daniel. This is the day I was born for. It's the day you were born for. The unveiling of the mysteries of God. Hallelujah. He said a good understanding. If you're not a commandment, okay, I'll tell you what, let's just do this. Let me, Sister Pat, I'm not going to say you're the smartest woman in the room, but I think you can read, can't you? All right. That verse we just read, did you eyeball it? According to the Bible, not your mama, not your preacher, nobody, but according to that verse, is it possible to have a good understanding without being a commandment keeper? No, according to any, no, not according to them, but according to that verse. That's the only way to have a good understanding. You've got to be a commandment keeper. Darling, if you can't count to seven, quit trying to interpret the beast of the book of Revelation. You got to know what day is the Sabbath day. I want to laugh when people are trying to tell me what these beasts represent. And I say, how can you count to seven for me? Do you keep the Sabbath on the seventh day? No. Then please don't try to tell me nothing about end times. And I'm going to show you why in a minute, because I'm finna blow some of your minds, but I had to lay that little foundation. Bishop, read for us Ephesians 1, 17 through 18.
That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints.
His inheritance in the saints. According to that scripture, Brother John Call, an understanding is a gift from God. What did Paul say? I pray that your eyes will be enlightened, that you will receive the understanding of the things of God, but more importantly, of what God's plans are for the saints. That's a revelation.
Yes, that is a revelation.
Before this ministry, you thought God's plan was to go to heaven. You needed a revelation to know that God's got an inheritance in the saints. He's got a job in the saints. You need to know it. Now, the funny thing, let's go to Daniel 12 and 8, Brother Kyle. I want to show you something. And I want you, we're going to read 8, 9, and 10. Daniel is giving these great revelations, and we're going to go through them in a moment when I slow down. And the sad thing about it is Daniel was not even allowed to know what they meant. How many of you ever had a dream or a vision, and it drove you crazy not knowing what it meant? You wanted somebody to interpret it. Welcome to Daniel's life. It wasn't for him. It was for him to write down, or in your case, maybe write a song, or paint a picture, or me, write a book. Just write it down. There's going to come a day when whoever it's meant for is going to pick it up. Amen? Just write it down. Read Daniel 12, 8, 9, and 10.
So I heard, but I did not understand. Then I said, "Oh, my ruler, what will be the end of these things?" But he said, "Go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified and made white."
Hold on now. What's going to happen when this revelation begins to be unsealed? What's it going to do to us?
Many will be purified.
It's going to start purifying us. Or perfecting us. What have I told you this message is? A perfecting message. A finishing message. He said when this begins to be open, the church is going to change. Their understanding is going to change. It's going to perfect you. That's why it was never open for your grandmother. It went open for your great-grandmother. But that when it begins to open and you realize you've got a role to play in the inheritance of the saints, it will change you. But Lord, I want to know what it means. Shut up, Daniel. Daniel, it ain't for you, son. You go with what I've given you so far. This ain't for you. And it ain't for Medo-Persia or Babylon. No, because it's for that fifth kingdom. Y'all need to watch my teaching on the fifth kingdom. It's not for Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece. But Brother Vaughn, that's what he saw in a vision. That whole vision wasn't even about none of that. It was about that rock that came rolling out of the mountain. The whole vision was about you. Brother Vaughn, that rock was Jesus. No, it wasn't. That rock was a kingdom. And you are that kingdom that came rolling out of Jesus. He's the rock. You're the one that came out of the rock. Listen carefully. There's a rock that came rolling out of the rock. Jesus was the mountain, but the rock that came rolling out of the mountain was the brothers of Jesus Christ. We are that fifth kingdom. We are that final kingdom. While you're trying to fly away and go to heaven, we're supposed to be rolling down the mountain. Crashing. You're supposed to be crashing every other government on planet Earth. Blessed be God. Amen. Y'all quit now. I just want to teach. Read.
And made white and tried, tested, but the wicked
whoa,
will
whoa,
do.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hold on now. What's going to happen with this message? You're going to be what?
Tried and tested. Lord.
See? Everybody didn't have to be perfected. I want to tell you something God spoke to me today. I called my wife in my room and I said, "Honey, God just spoke something to me. I've often struggled with those great saints of God that I know are going to be in the kingdom of God, but they didn't keep the Sabbath day. And I've always wondered, God, why the Lord spoke to me. He said, when you go to court, who gets charged with the crime? The mastermind or the flunky that did the job? Listen, who is it that's going to get the greater sentence? The mastermind or the flunky? The mastermind. Who came up with the con? Who came up with the scheme? That judge ain't worried about little old Earl that went down there and stole it. Matter of fact, if Earl would give you up, he'll let Earl go. Who was it that stole the correct Sabbath? It wasn't those preachers. It wasn't those saints of God. It was the Roman Catholic Church. And it's not their fault. They kept the Sabbath every week, the only one they knew about. That went over like a lead balloon. I'll try it again. My grandmother woke up every Sunday, dressed 10 children. She wouldn't have missed it for nothing in the world. You know what she was doing? She was keeping the Sabbath day holy. The only one she knew about. The only one that God had not revealed that to her. There was a mastermind behind that deception. It wasn't her. She kept what she knew. And if she'll be rewarded as a Sabbath keeper. Why? She kept what she knew. But for those of you in this room, you get no such luck. He's removed the scales from your eyes. It's the mastermind going to jail, not the flunkies. Matter of fact, them flunkies, when they stand on the judgment seat, they're going to turn on the devil and say, he's the one that, his pope did it. His pope told us Sunday was the Sabbath. God will reward them as Sabbath keepers. Because this wasn't for their day. It's for your day. God is not. Why? Because when Daniel's message begins to unseal, when Elijah comes forth, what was the purpose of Elijah? To repair, to restore what the enemy perverted. Whenever we went from a Trinitarian baptism to one baptism in Jesus' name, God was restoring through the ministry of Elijah then what was stolen by the Catholic Church. Now, I'll tell you something I used to struggle with as well. What about all those saints before us that was baptized in a Trinity? Same thing. They did not know. There was a mastermind behind their baptism. But the minute they saw Acts 2:38, they left that and walked into the fullness of water baptism in His name. Now, can they go back now in a Trinity baptism? No! But I want you to know there were saints of God that had a Trinity baptism. They will be in the kingdom of God. There were saints that never spoke in tongues in the 1700s and the 1800s. They will be in the kingdom of God. Why? It was restored to us. Oh, but Brother Vaughn, this is the plan of salvation for your day. The Bible said, Revelation 12:9, the God of this world blinded everybody. My grandma was baptized a Trinitarian when she first got the Holy Ghost in the early 1900s. One day, somebody put up an old brush arbor in Holden, Louisiana. A little old lady preacher came by, Sister Agnes. And she started preaching about Acts 2:38. My grandmother said, when I heard that message, I just knew I was hearing the truth. And I went and jumped in the water and said, baptize me again. When I heard about the Sabbath day, I said, I want to go back to church, but I want to do it on the Lord's day. We serve a loving God. We serve a faithful God. if you wouldn't destroy your children for not knowing, why would he? The Bible said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. Only to him is it a sin. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Some of you are sitting in the most dangerous seat in the world because now you know. Now you know. Hallelujah. Let's read Matthew 24 and 6 through 7. I want to show you exactly. They said nobody knows when the Lord's coming back. That's not true. Brother Vaughn, he's coming like a thief in the night. You better hope he's not. My Bible on Facebook all day. He says he's coming like a thief in the night. Sometimes I just don't even feel like responding to people. They get on my nerves. Because it don't say he's coming like a thief in the night. It said if you're not watching for him, it'll be like a thief in the night. But if you had known when the thief was coming, you'd have been right there waiting on him. I don't know where you plan to be, but I plan on the Feast of Trumpets to be standing there waiting on him. I don't know what year and I don't know what decade, but I know when he's coming. He came on time the first time. He'll come on time the next time. Don't you think? Don't you think Yahshua could have poured out the Holy Ghost any day he wanted to? But what did he tell those disciples? Go to Jerusalem. We got to wait. We got to wait on the appointed time, on the day of Pentecost when it was fully come. And he's coming back when the Feast of Trumpets is fully come. So why did Jesus say no man knows the day nor the hour? It's real simple. I'll run through it quickly. If you were to go to Jerusalem right now, they would be talking about the feast. They'd talk about Passover and Pentecost, and they would name them as that. And then they would say, and then the feast of which no man knows the day or hour. There were Jews. That's how they referred to the Feast of Trumpets. Why? Because it's the only feast that they don't know when that moon is going to shine. And so when they refer to that day, it's called the day in which no man knows the day or the hour. You remember about 30 minutes ago when I told you, you can't understand Bible prophecy without keeping the feast? I just proved it to you. I just proved it to you. The Feast of Trumpets is the day in which no man knows when it's going to come. Jesus said, that's when I'm coming back. Woo, hallelujah. My God. Was you still reading something? Are we done? All right. Matthew 24, verse 6. I'm going to show you right when the Lord's coming back. So, and you, go ahead.
And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars.
All right. So I got a question, Sister L. Can Yahshua return at any time if there's not wars going on?
Mm-mm. No.
Got to have some wars and rumors of war.
Yeah. It's got to be bad. That's all you're going to be talking about is war.
Everywhere.
That's all they're going to be talking about at Walmart. Have you heard about the war? Now, I want to ask all of you that believe in a rapture, those watching me around the world. Jesus, if you believe in a rapture, it's going to have to happen when there's a war going on. It can't happen tonight. There's no rumors of world war. Well, it's starting now. Jesus said, I will return when everybody's talking about. Now, you've read the Bible your whole life. Why ain't you ever saw that? You've repeated it. You've quoted it. But did you know Jesus said, I won't return unless there's a war? I'm trying to help you. All I'm trying to do, I ain't trying to mess you up. I'm trying to help you. What else has got to be going on when he comes back?
See that you are not troubled for
Is there something else besides war there?
Rumors of wars. And for nation will rise against nation
is that
and kingdom
against
kingdom.
Hold on. Is that a one nation war?
No.
the nations will be rising against the nations. And we ain't talking about no little half-cocked nation like Canary Island. We're talking about nations, major beast powers. That's called world war. And I'll say to the whole world, Yeshua the Messiah will not return any other time except on the Feast of Trumpets during a world war. And now everybody's wondering why I'm so excited about war. Because I believe this message. I said, I believe this message. I'm looking for His returning. How about you? Hallelujah. What else is going to be going on?
And there will be famines and pestilence.
Okay, there's going to be food prices starting to get real high.
Right. That's right. There'll be viruses.
Hold on. Read what she said. What? Read verse 6.
And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet.
Okay, the end ain't yet. It's called the beginning of sorrow. We're not even in tribulation yet. But you see, you know why he told you to be looking? Those words, be not troubled. Brother Vaughn, I'm so worried. Then you're not obeying the scripture. Brother Vaughn, food prices is going through the roof. That's famine. I'm going to do a Toto show one night this week about food in America. It's going to blow your mind what prices of food are fixing to become. I told y'all 2 months ago what was going to happen to chicken, and it happened the next week. Mark my words down. How many of you have gone grocery shopping in the last month and said, whoa?
Yes, yes, absolutely.
That's called famine. When food becomes scarce. In America, I've been here 48 years. I'm an old man. I've never been worried about food one day until today. Now all of a sudden we're like, whoa. Do you know what somebody told me yesterday? They said you can take all the gold you got in your house. And I got a lot of gold and silver. They said there's going to come a day when a seed for a garden will be worth more than that gold. Because food... Food, that's why we're fixing to plant. I need somebody to go plant me a huge garden on my land. I don't know how to do it. I don't even know how to plant a seed. I want to take Daddy's tractor and I want to fill that land up with food for Yahweh's people. You go out there and get your cucumbers and your tomatoes. Y'all don't want me out there. I don't even know how to dig up nothing. Don't let me on no garden. It'll all be dead. Yeah, chicken coops. Let's do it. Let's just go all the way with it. Let's do some chicken coops. Now, what else is going to be going on?
We need a cow. That's
huh?
We need a cow, too.
Cows?
Yes,
maybe Sister Kim will let her put us on her land. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah.
And so there will be famines and pestilences and now, earthquakes.
What did you say viruses?
Yes, viruses. Epidemics. Pandemics.
Did you say plandemic, scamdemics?
Yes, plandemics.
Did you say COVID maybe? It's going to be an unusual time of disease when I return.
Yes.
Read.
And earthquakes in places after place.
Read.
All these are the first half of the sorrows of tribulation.
That's the first half. Read.
Yes. Then they will hand you over to be afflicted and will kill you.
Oh,
and
don't go there. Nobody wants to hear that part. Mm. Okay. Let's go. Brother Vaughn, I don't want to be here for all that. Then you're not worthy.
Come on. Amen. That's right. You've got to be here for it.
When your miracles ain't happening no more, your little spiritual witchcraft.
Come on. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Your little spiritual voodoo.
Yes.
Commanding everything and ain't nothing listening.
Come on.
Why? Because the rain has stopped.
That's right. It's a famine. There ain't no rain.
The famine will be
right
in the land. Why do you think this building is empty tonight? I'm going to tell you why. Because we didn't advertise no prophet giving nobody a word. Come in here and people are so fickle They want a move of God, and they don't see the biggest move of God they've ever seen happening in right under their noses. People don't pack up and move if there's not a move of God happening right under your nose. And you're trying to have church. You better learn this message. Read, brother, so I can get to the next part.
Then they will hand you over to be afflicted and will kill you, and you will be hated above all peoples for my name's sake. And then,
can I ask a question?
Yes.
Let me ask somebody that's real smart. Hope. Let me ask you a question, Hope. Why does that verse apply to every other Christian, every other believer in history, but it don't apply to us? Now, I want you to think about it. Oh, we're not going to be here for all that. Well, don't you know them poor Christians in Ukraine would love to know that they ain't got to be there for all that either. Bunch of jokes in God's house. Oh, we're not going to be here. We're not going to be here with all that trouble. Who do you think you are? Who lied to you and made you princess? Who do you? You're going to be hated for my name's sake. I mean, they've already done it. They've arrested Pastor Arthur Pulaski in Canada for standing up for his religious right. They've arrested Tony Spell right up the road. Put him in prison. Tony Spell, put him in prison in Baton Rouge. You know why he went to prison? Because he said, I'm going to church no matter what.
Right.
In America, he went to prison. I watched him. I donated to his bond money. We went bonding him out, $5,000 cash. A preacher. They wouldn't even give him a property bond. It had to be cash. Jerry Cox brought him $3,000. And you think you ain't got to go through nothing? Keep drinking that Kool-Aid with Jim Jones. You're going to wind up in Guyana.
Amen.
Listen, now I want to go to the next part of tonight's lesson because that was free. This here is going to get good. Do you know why all prophecy teachers tell you that Jesus cannot return on the timeline that we're teaching? It's because of a misunderstanding that I'm about to straighten out if the Lord will help me. It's called the abomination of desolation. Now I'm fixing to deal with it. Let's go to Matthew 24 and verse 15. And we're going to talk about the abomination of desolation. Rick Connolly, if you don't shut up.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You ever heard of stealing your thunder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Praise God. Let's read Matthew 24 and 15. Let me show you what everybody's waiting on, why they don't think this. Here's why they don't think that World War III is here.
Right.
All your prophecy teachers don't believe this is nothing because this hasn't happened. Read Matthew 24, 15.
Therefore, when you will see the Lord of heaven, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoever reads, let him understand.
Okay, now let's just act like that means what we think it means. That Jesus won't return until we see the abomination of desolation in the temple of God. If it's that simple, why does Jesus end it with these words? Let him that has an ear truly understand what I'm saying. Now, if it's as simple as the Antichrist standing in the third temple, well, then no, this ain't the end of time. This ain't World War III because we ain't even built the temple yet. Somebody put a sock in that man's mouth. Listen to me. I love him to death. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to say something that no prophecy teacher agrees with. There will never be a third temple.
Amen.
Ever.
Amen.
In the city of Jerusalem.
That's right.
Brother Vaughn, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. I'm fixing to prove it to you. That's carnal mindedness. There will never be a physical third temple ever in the city of Jerusalem. Brother Vaughn, I don't believe it. All right, let's go to Revelation 21. When I know what he told me, I know. Now let's talk about the kingdom of God that's coming to planet Earth. And let's see exactly what the Bible said. Somebody turn my phone. Praise the Lord. All right. Go and let's go down to verse number 22.
And I saw no pagan God-worshipping Elohim-worshipping sanctuary in it, for the house of Yahweh, the body of Messiah, was in it.
All right. Brother Kendrick, read it out of the King James, and let's try to clarify it a little.
And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it.
Amen. How are we going to build a third temple in the millennial reign when this is the millennial reign and it says there will be no temple there? It's all false doctrine. And when I see people getting on YouTube, oh, they over there putting it together right now. They got all the lampstands ready. That's carnality. That's why Jesus said, he that reads these words, let him really understand. Now, we read earlier, you can't understand unless you keep the holy days. Now, I'm going to show you why there will never be a third temple in the coming kingdom of God or during the great tribulation. Let's go in. First of all, Palestine, if they tried to build it, the whole world would blow it up in a minute. How foolish we are to think there will be a third temple. Oh, I'm going to get to Ezekiel's vision. Just hang tight. The Christian church has thrown out the Torah. This is why they believe in a third temple. You will not go in a Christian church and hear the word Torah. You just won't do it. And yet your entire Bible cannot be understood without the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. Now, without the Torah, it's impossible to understand the New Testament. There is no understanding of the new without understanding the old. Now, I'm going to read to you a scripture in Hebrews 5 and 12. Where the Apostle Paul says, if you're not a feast keeper, you cannot understand the end times. Let's go read Hebrews 5. And I tell you what, let me read that because I'm going to have to break it down as I go. Hebrews 5 and 12. Everybody turn there. Tell me when you're there. Say amen.
Amen.
Everybody else? My Lord from heaven, who is inboxing?
We must have some breaking news.
Praise God, somebody probably want my cash out. Story of my life. There we go. All right. Hebrews 5 and 12. Everybody there?
Amen.
For by now you ought to be teachers. Question. There was no New Testament when Paul said that. So what should New Testament Christians have been teachers of?
Torah.
There was no New Testament.
That's right.
He said, you New Testament Christians, by now y'all should be able to teach this Torah.
Right.
Y'all know the one Jesus did away with.
Right.
But he said, you now need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. What were the first principles of the oracles of God? The Torah. Here is Paul telling Holy Ghost filled believers they need to go back and learn the Torah. Oh, Brother Vaughn, it don't say that. Well, then what does it say?
You read what it says. What it says.
By now you should be able to teach it. But now you need to go back and relearn the first principles of the what? What's it say in your Bible? That is the Torah in that setting. He said, you got to go back and learn the Torah. Well, if you're going to learn the Torah, guess what you're going to learn in it? The Sabbath day. And the law of God. And the holy days. Oh, brother, now go tell a Christian that you can show them where Paul said, Holy Ghost-filled believers need to go and learn the Torah. There it is, right there. You ought to write it down. I'm giving you a good one. Let's keep reading. But you have come needing the milk. You know the signs and the wonders. You need to feel that Jesus loves you. You need the milk. You know what he said after that? You can't handle the Torah. I'm going to show you where he calls the Torah solid food. For everyone that partakes only of the milk is unlearned in the Torah of righteousness. You know what righteousness is, Sister Tasha? The right way to do things. If you don't know, it was in Torah when God told a woman not to dress like a man. If you don't believe in Torah, you can't find me another scripture for a woman not to dress like a man except in the Torah. Ain't going back to the law, then you need to quit preaching about dresses on a woman. You can't find it in the New Testament. They kill me with their ignorance. Brother Vaughn's bringing everybody back to the law. Well, what did you do when said not to put on what pertains to a man? Where did that come from? The Torah. Without the Torah, we can have homosexuals. Without the Torah, you go sleep with your sheep. You don't even know how to live right without the Torah. Where do you think the Bible said for a man not to dress like a... You want, we get transvestites if we don't have Torah. Paul said, y'all have all got the Holy Ghost, but you're ignorant. You're ignorant of the Torah. Because you let somebody tell you Jesus replaced it. He said you need to go back and learn the very principles of it. Right. Not the religious part of it. Right. The principles of it. The there you go. Now we're getting somewhere. Let's keep reading. But verse 14, you're still a baby. You need solid food. What is solid food? Spiritual truth. And it only belongs to those that are what?
Strong and mature.
And who's the only ones going in the first resurrection? You remember my sonship message? There it is. Now, he didn't say you was going to hell. He said you're not going to be counted worthy. Study to show yourself approved. But solid food belongs to those that are mature. What is a mature saint? A mature saint's always got their mind set on the law of God. Did I do that person wrong? Did I? A mature saint, they're not worried about the details of the law. They're worried about what that detail was teaching them. No, we don't stone our children. But what you don't understand, the Torah never said that anybody could just stone their children. No, they had to go to court, which was the gates of the city. And they had to be judged by elders. And if they were judged rebellious, God said, kill them. That was the death penalty. So when you forget about stoning kids, now you think you can be a child of God and be rebellious without a death penalty. It's plain as the nose on your face. And the... It really is. God said stone them so my children will know why I'm going to stone them. If you're a baby, all you see is, well, you saying we need to stone our children. That's because you a dummy. You're carnal. You're looking for an excuse. You're looking for a cop out. God didn't say stone them. God said judge them. And then give them a sentence if they got rebellion in their hearts. But if we do away with that, then we come to church, rebellious to the pastor, rebellious to one another. We don't worry about it. We're not going to get stoned. Yes, you are. It may not be in the flesh, but everything in your life will get stoned. Everything. You'll lose everything you thought you had if rebellion is in your heart. So if we get rid of the Torah, we don't know that. Paul said, y'all need to understand the basic principles of this Torah. Whew, help me, Holy Ghost. Verse 14. Listen what he said. Now this is going to be good. Oh God, help me. Page 4 of 54. Those who by reason of use. Now let's just start over. Let's start verse 14. But solid food belongs to those that are mature. Now he's fixing to tell you who the mature are. Those that by reason of use have had their senses exercised to discern good and evil. Here's what Paul just said. The mature sons are so busy doing the Torah, the holy days, the Sabbath, that by the continual doing of those things in the Torah, they can now discern between good and evil, clean and unclean. I don't know. That was my translation. What does one of y'all say? Maybe I'm reading it wrong. Read it from yours. My Bible, Paul said, the mature sons are doing the Torah.
Yeah, that's right.
Read your little verse.
But strong meat belongs to those who are full of God. For those whose senses are trained by patience to discern both righteousness and evil.
How are your senses trained? And
by
patience of doing. The Bible said, not he that heareth the Torah, but he that patiently does the Torah as you do it. Thank you, sir. As you keep the Sabbath, you're able to discern. Well, maybe if I'm keeping Sabbath, I need to pay tithes too. He wanted one part, one day of the week. He wants one part of my... See, you're able now to start discerning.
Yes.
I love when people tell me, I'm living for God by the law of God. I say, which one? Point to it. Point to me. What law are you living by? Oh, well, it's in my heart. Tell me what it is.
Yes.
Tell me one line from your law. Oh, well, love the Lord thy God. No. You're not going to steal from the Ten Commandments. We covered love the Lord your God in the Ten Commandments. Give me this new law. Where is it? Where's it written? Hidden down in your bra? Where you got it written? Where's it at? Is it in your back pocket? I'm living by the new covenant. Show it to me. Yes, ma'am. Practice. Practice. What is the Sabbath? Somebody say a rehearsal. What is a rehearsal? He said, by continuously keeping Passover,
right,
you're practicing.
Amen.
Righteousness.
Amen.
Practice to do right. If you're keeping Tabernacles, you're practicing the millennial reign.
Right.
By the continual patient practicing.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to do Passover. We've done it 8 years in a row. Every year I learn something more about it. God speaks to me more about it. Patiently practicing the Torah. Paul said, if you're not doing that, you're a baby. You just want to run around the church. Go ahead and run. Okay. You just want to be a baby? That's fine. But that's all you're going to ever be. But Sister L, when you take that law of Yahweh and patiently practice it. Brother Kendrick, here's an example of patient practicing. I know you've had people in your church, you and Mama, every month when they got their little Social Security checks. What'd they do, Sister Kendrick? Patiently practicing, obeying God. May not have been but $15, $35. God don't care about the amount. He cares about the patient practicing of putting Him first in all things. This church is paid for. We don't need a dime from nobody. I don't take a salary. Brother, Sister Kendrick, don't take a salary. Nobody here takes a penny from this church. But we're going to preach till you give. Why? Because we want you to patiently practice obeying God. You'll get so used to obeying God, you'll turn into a mature believer. You'll walk in the fullness of the authority of Christ. Can you be trusted? You want authority with God? You want authority to cast out devils? You want authority to heal the sick? Baby, until you walk into patient practicing of the Torah, you have no authority. The authority comes when you earn it, when you have developed it, when you are counted worthy of that authority. My grandfather, Brother Terrell, my mother-in-law, Sister Ruth Heflin, others, there'd be people coming to church. Brother Terrell lived for God his whole life. He had authority with God. Somebody demon possessed, he'd walk right back to him. One time I saw him slap one right in the face. They come out, and he came right on out. One time Brother Terrell took his shoes off, kicked him right in the stomach, said, "Get on out there." And he'd come on out. You know why? He had authority. He didn't care what you thought about him. He knew who he was in God. When you know who you are in God, if a demon don't listen to you real fast, go on to the next one. You know why? Because they either not ready or you not ready. One of the two. You've got to speak with authority. Listen, if somebody don't want to be free, you can pray for them 37 hours. If they love that devil loves them. Okay? You got to learn to discern that. Oh, Brother Vaughn, we ought to pray for everybody. No, we shouldn't. The Apostle Paul said, don't pray for that person.
Did y'all know the Bible said don't pray for certain people?
Yes. Don't be quick to lay hands on people.
Don't lay hands suddenly on no man. Amen. Discern if they're trying to get attention. Discern if they do this to every church they go to. Oh, yeah. See, some people get mad at me because I'll see somebody in the church, a visitor maybe. And well, why didn't he give an altar call? I done discerned them, darling. They go to every altar in town every night of the week trying to get somebody's attention.
Amen.
I'm ready to go home and get my recliner.
Amen.
You want to come to the altar, you'll come when I'm preaching on tithing. If God's drawing you, get down there. I'm not going to beg nobody to live for God. I used to, but I grew out of it. Honey, if you're anointed, you can be up here preaching on wives, obey your husband, and the altars will fill up with wives and husbands. You know why? Because the Word does the work. Grow up in God. Now, the bad news is I'm not going to be able to get to the abomination of desolation tonight. We're out of time. But oh God, how I want to get there. But I maybe, since I'll be here next weekend, we're going to pick up right there, okay? Oh, I know. But I'm ready to get in my recliner. Yes.
John 17:9, even Jesus said, I pray not for the world.
That's right.
But for the ones at the Father.
That's right. He didn't pray for the world. That's exactly right. I'm going to prove to you next week. I'm going to prove to you there's no physical temple next week, next Friday night. I'm going to prove to you there's no physical Antichrist. I'm going to prove to you we're on the verge of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these things that you say got to happen first, it's already happened. Oh, Brother Vaughn, the Bible said, no, it don't. You think that's what it says. The Bible said, let him that hath an understanding really get it. When the man of sin is revealed, who is the man of sin? You are. When he exalts himself in the temple of God, he does. It's called the false Messiah. Oh, well. It's going to get real good. Do you know why everybody's looking for an Antichrist? Because they don't want to see it in them. Let's look out there. No. Let's look in here. The man of sin is the one that stands in rebellion to the law of God. That was you. And he's going to come in the temple of God. Right here, we are the temple. And he's going to exalt himself and call himself the lawless one. God don't have a law anymore. That's the Antichrist preaching. The whole time you've been looking for the mark of the beast, and you had it the whole time. The spirit of Antichrist has been here since Paul was here. He said this man of sin is going to be revealed with Daniel's message and the voice of Elijah. He said there's going to come a day when he's going to be exposed and driven out of the temple. I believe we're mighty close to that day. Let's all stand tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.